Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on seeds of destruction right after this. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something's wrong, very wrong, with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools and banned from our public institutions, or banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. And I say this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? And are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school? You know, without your consent, but she can have an abortion. That's right, she can have an abortion arranged to that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers not only practiced, but they advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. Now, if you don't know, or if you don't have to know, I'm telling you, you don't need to know what the penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, Common Law, Natural Law, it's all automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Okay, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about an article that was first published, an interview first published in the Money Changer. It's in the March 2008 Money Changer by F. William Engdahl called Seeds of Destruction. It's similar to the book that I reported on by Jeffrey Smith called Seeds of Destruction here some time back, dealing with GMOs, dealing with agriculture versus agribusiness. GMOs, that's the genetically modified organisms that they're gene splicing and cloning animals in one thing and another. It's been approved. I pointed out to you it violates the law of God. There's several statutes. Primarily, it's Leviticus 19:19 that tells you don't do that. And then, of course, comes the Department of Agriculture. They want you to sign up and make all these deals. There's four statutes that tell you not to make any contracts or covenants with these foreign and alien gods. We haven't been listening. We haven't been paying attention. Then on the last program or two, I pointed out that these seeds of destruction are really, in the final analysis, dealing with the political side of agribusiness. It's the fascist corporate state working in a conspiracy to accomplish a goal called Global 2000 or the New World Order. And they've got a plan. This plan has been in operation since at least 1884 when the protocols were put out. They really got serious in 1939. They implemented it by 1946 We have made a complete shift from agriculture to agribusiness. It's not only an agricultural model, but it's also an economic model. We have driven the little farmers off the land and out of agriculture. We have driven them into agribusiness in contracts with the civil law state, which we were told not to do, but we did it anyway. After all, we're smarter than God. But you know, every time we break a law, there's a penalty, there's an outcome, there's a cause and effect relationship that ultimately comes to fruition. If this is what we want, if famine and starvation, the collapse of the economy, if the destruction of our agricultural lands, if the erosion of the soils, and the destruction of the fertility is the goal that we were seeking, we have succeeded beyond our wildest expectations. We are standing at the pinnacle of success. Now, if on the other hand, we wanted to avoid famine, disease, if we wanted to avoid the soil depletion, the soil erosion, if we wanted to avoid a Great Depression, mass starvation, and the destruction of our nation, our economy, then we have totally failed, and we're at the precipice of total destruction. Now, you know, every civilization, every empire grows from a state of slavery. We started out enslaved to somebody, something, some nation, some empire. In America, we were enslaved to, the colonists complained about, King George, the British Empire. Of course, we were Englishmen. We weren't taken into captivity by some strange foreign and alien occupation, but we looked upon the English. We looked upon Great Britain as being that foreign power controlling us. So we fought a revolution, got our freedom, and then we went about building a great empire. It's the American Empire. We have 732 military bases around the world. We're at the pinnacle. We're at the peak. We're at the top of our success. Now, great empires, once they reach this great pinnacle of success, have great military power, economic power, political power. They collapse. And the collapse almost always occurs from within. It hasn't been any different here in the United States. We've been destroyed from within. It wasn't some great external power that came over here like the Americans did to the Germans in World War II and imposed upon them at the end of a military defeat a new world and philosophical, political, economic order upon us the way we did to the Germans. But it's about to happen. And Bible prophecy says a lot about it. But before we get into that, let me show you a letter that I picked up some years back, and I put it in my $100,000 school. This is chapter 18, and it shows the evidence of a conspiracy on January the 7th, 1985. Larry Becraft told me that he read 10 years ago, that would have been in 1975, where in the official of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis said that all we need in the United States is 100,000 farms. On January 10th, 1985, the evening news on KYTV Springfield, Missouri reported that at an FFA gathering, the spokesman said that although there are 2 million farmers in the United States as of that date, 1985, that within 10 years, that would have been 1995, there will be about 300,000. About 1 year ago, your editor read in a local paper where an economist at the Chase Manhattan in New York said all that we need is 200,000 farms in the country. It's now crystal clear that the big mega banks want to eliminate over 2 million farmers and take over all of the American farmlands with big corporations and set up their own brand of socialism. Well, now in 2008, I can report to you that it's already been accomplished. It's a done deal. We now have more people locked up in our prisons than we have working on our farms. We import 50% of our food from overseas. The big farms in America control agribusiness. Congress, along with these big farms, you know, guys like Jimmy Carter is a peanut farmer. He's a big one. He's got an allotment. If I went out there and grew some peanuts, I couldn't even sell them. So we have created what they had in the Soviet Union. You know, these huge state farms. We don't call them communes or big state farms. We call it corporate agribusiness. We have a different label on it. We have established here in the United States exactly what they have in China, exactly what they had in the Soviet Union. They still have it. Now, as a result of that, there's going to be an outcome. And the outcome is laid out in Bible prophecy, primarily in chapter 26 of Leviticus. So if we go to Leviticus 26, we find out something about the outcome that we all should expect. I'll flip over there quickly, Leviticus 26. There's a penalty for not practicing land Sabbaths. Now, we were instructed, we were told to practice this land Sabbath every year. So in Leviticus 25, there's a sabbatical year or a land Sabbath year. It's in chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. And then verses 8 through the balance of the chapter talks about the Jubilees. Now, you know, American farmers have never done this. We didn't do this at the time of the Revolutionary War. We didn't do this at the Civil War. We didn't do this at the time of World War I or World War II. As far as I can tell, we've never practiced land Sabbaths or Jubilees here in the United States. And we've been farming and making money, and we practiced agriculture, and we lived our lives and did our thing. And we thought we were going to live happily ever after. But listen to this. In verse 34, we're told, "Then shall the land enjoy your Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it." Now, in verse 32 and verse 33, he says, "I'm going to bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. I'm going to scatter you among the heathen, and I'm going to draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities made waste." Now, the reason for this is because we won't practice the Sabbaths. And the Sabbath breaking, the penalty is national captivity. That's the penalty. Now, this thing of genetically modified organisms is like a stake being driven in the heart of Dracula. It's the final death knell. It is going to cap off. It's like giving God the finger, live and direct. Now, we were told not to do that. In Exodus 23, verse 20, we were told very plainly that there's an angel going to be given charge. The guy's name is Michael the Archangel. This Michael the Archangel is the chief executive officer on planet Earth. He runs the show here. Satan is the king of planet Earth. He runs all the nations, and everything here is in Satan's control. But the chief executive officer representing the kingdom of Israel on planet Earth, the ambassador that comes from the creator of it all, his name is Michael the Archangel. And we were instructed, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared." And he said, "Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions, because my name is in him. But if you will indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy unto your enemies. I'll be an adversary unto your adversaries. For my angel shall go in before you and bring you in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. And you shall not bow down to their gods, nor shall you serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall totally overthrow them and quite break down their images." We never did that. We came into the United States, you Canadians came into Canada, you Australians came into Australia. You never destroyed the native inhabitants from off the land. You never broke down their images. You picked up their pagan ways. You incorporated that into your lifestyles. You made marriages with those people. You put their totem poles up in your parks. You name your cities after their kings, their gods, and their pagan idols. You were told not to do that. Well, okay, you're smarter than God. I never denied that. But there's a penalty that comes from that. Now, notice that, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Now we were warned to beware of him and obey his voice and don't provoke him, because he will not pardon your transgressions. That's a legal term. That's a legal term. That's an ambassador. That's a guardian-ward relationship. That's a master-servant. And here's the way it works. Let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion, you came to me and you said, "Hey, Gordon, I'm going to go out to dinner with the wife, and I got a couple kids, and I want you to babysit them for me. Would you do that?" And I said, "Well, yeah, Tom, I'll do that." And so you say, "Well, now listen, let me give you a couple more instructions here, George." And you say to me, "Now, at 8 o'clock, I want you to tell them to go to bed, and I want you to tell them about 7:45 to take a bath first. Go to bed at 8 o'clock. And if they give you any back talk or any sass, I want you to whip them, and I want you to take your belt, and I want you to give them 5 swats each." You know, an old man like me, I might even have to write this down, take notes, and I've got it all written down. Now I've got my instructions. You leave. 7:30, I point out to your two children over here that it's time to go to bed. And the two children say to me, "You're not my daddy, and I don't have to mind you." 7:45. I point out that it's 7:45, and it's now time to take your bath so that you'll be ready for bed at 8 o'clock. "We're not going to take a bath." So, at 8 o'clock, I say, "It's time for bed, and you didn't take your bath, and you didn't get ready for your bath as I told you," so I whip off my belt, following instruction number 3, and I announce, "I'm now going to give you 5 swats each." Whereupon, the two children, not being brain dead, jump up and say, "Oh, but Mr. Gordon, we see the wisdom of your argument. We will now obey your voice. Now we will rush off to the bathroom and take our bath. Now we will prepare ourselves for bed. Now we will go to bed and do what you tell me." By now it is 8:30. What should I do? Should I, at this juncture of time, administer the 5 swats? Or should I forgive them because they have now repented and they have now changed their tune? I'll give you 30 seconds. Mull that one over. While you're thinking about that, remember the statute again gives us an instruction. Beware of him. I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I've prepared. Now beware of this guy. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, because my name is in him. All right, time's up. The answer is, the children both get whipped. There isn't any forgiveness. There cannot be, because there's nothing in my instructions that gives me the power to forgive sin. My instructions are, he will not pardon their transgressions. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but you don't need to pray to Jesus. He ain't going to do you any good now. There comes a point in time when talk, which used to have some value, won't have any value anymore. Let me show you in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Here's the precursor to that statute. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Samuel's sons were, they were kind of rounders. They're probably out chasing one of Flo's girls and having a good time taking bribes. They were working in government. They were lobbyists. Actually, they were public officials taking bribes from the lobbyists. And so, the people came to Samuel and they said, "Give us a king like all the nations around us." Samuel was shocked at that thought, at that concept. And he went to God and he said, "Now listen, these people are rebelling against me." So in verse 7, here's what God said. He said, "And the Eternal said to Samuel," he said, "hearken unto the voice of the people. in all that they say unto you? Because they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I shouldn't reign or rule over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto you. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. So the next few verses tells us what kind of a king we're going to get. Let's see if this fits George Bush. Samuel told all the words of the Eternal unto the people that asked of him a king, and he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he shall appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and shall set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots." Here comes the Department of Agriculture. Here comes the military-industrial complex. Here comes the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Here comes George Bush. Here's the manner of the king that shall reign over you. "And he shall take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he'll take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, and even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He'll saddle you with the Patriot Act and Homeland Security. And then he'll take your tenth, the tenth of your seed, your taxes, and your vineyards, and give them to his officers and to his servants in no-bid contracts with Halliburton and Kellogg, Brown, and Root. And then he's going to take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he'll take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants." And in verse 18 he says, "You shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you." You know, the guy that we voted in. "And the Eternal will not hear you in that day." So that's why I point out, I don't think you need to waste any time here praying to Jesus, because he already told you I ain't going to listen to that crap. I've had it. There's a point in time, my old dad explained that to me. He says, there's a point in time when you can talk, and then there's a point in time when we're going to take action. Now, my old daddy used to grab me, throw me up against the wall with sufficient force that you'd bounce off the wall and fall on the floor. I don't know the physics or the dynamics of it, but I'm just telling you that when you hit the wall, your body will bounce off and it will fall to the floor. Then he'd whip off his belt. Then he'd whip me within an inch of my life. Then ask me if I learned anything from that. And we Americans, Canadians, Australians, and Europeans are going to have an opportunity now. When old dad asks us, "Did you learn anything from that, boy?" You better have an intelligent answer in your mouth, son. You better say, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I learned my lesson." Now, I just wanted to tell you before it happens, this is what's coming down the pike. And when we read these stories, you know, about this seeds of destruction, I pointed out to you, it's more than just Monsanto and Synergy and DuPont making seeds and gene splicing. It has to do with the first horse, the white horse of Revelation 6. It's the deception that's killing us. See, you probably didn't know about this land Sabbath trick. You might not have ever heard about 1 Samuel chapter 8. Maybe Billy Graham never explained to you the cause and effect relationship that you get from the Old Covenant. Maybe Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Jerry Falwell and all the evangelists and all the preachers, maybe they misguided you. Maybe they misunderstood themselves. Maybe they didn't explain Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. I don't know. Plead ignorance. Walk into the judgment and say, "I didn't know." It's an old adage here in America that says, "Ignorance of the law is no excuse." We have more Bibles in this country than we got people. Hell, they're in the top drawer of your motel, for crying out loud. You never picked it up. You never read it. You never paid attention to it. So, okay, so you're ignorant. Go ahead and plead it and see how that comes out. I don't think it's going to help you very much, but you can test it and find out. This land Sabbath over here has a penalty, and the penalty is national captivity. We're going into national captivity, boys and girls, and you're already at the cutting edge of it. Our economy is stalled. We got two wars over here, and we can't make progress. You want to disengage yourself, but you can't. You want change, but the agents of change aren't there. I pointed that out to you the other day. I said, I don't care who you vote for. You're going to be in Iraq for years to come. They build an embassy over there for $2 billion. I forgot the number of people. I think it's 7,000 people going to staff that embassy. It's the biggest embassy in the world, in Baghdad. Now, you'd think if the United States was planning on withdrawing from Iraq, you know, we wouldn't spend $2 billion building the biggest embassy in the world there. And you're sitting there saying, well, I'm going to vote for Barack Obama. He's going to change things because he's the agent of change. I pointed out to you in the last program. I said, wait a minute. Excuse me, partner. Wake up. Smell the coffee. Barack Obama gets his orders from Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth tells Barack Obama where to do it and when. It's called the Conspirators' Hierarchy, the Committee of 300. It's written by a MI6 spook from Great Britain. His name is Dr. John Coleman. He tells you where the bodies are buried and where the bear does it. So I showed you some of the big names. Winston Churchill, George Bush. Now, George Bush Jr. isn't the George Bush listed in the Committee of 300, but I wouldn't doubt that he may be in the Committee of 300 now. This book was written in 1992. Then, of course, a lot of the guys that were in there are dead now. You know, J.P. Morgan, he's dead. He died in 1913. This is a plan that's been going on for a long time. But now it's just about ready to come to fruition. So as they say down at the Blue Room, you know, as the dealer is dealing out the second rounds of cards, the dealer will oftentimes say, all right, boys, read them and weep. Read them and weep. Now, I showed you how all of the land has been transferred to the state. Farmers don't own their land. It's owned by the Federal Land Bank. I showed you how Joseph took the land of Egypt and Franklin D. Roosevelt took the land in America. It's all owned by the Federal Reserve, boys and girls. We have been reduced to landless peasants in the United States. We are following the American dream. We sold our inheritance like the prodigal son for a whore and a bed, a little breakfast and some fun and frolic. We wanted a job in the city with concrete under our feet. So we moved to the city, sold our inheritance to Archer Daniels Midland, and we took a job at the Ford Motor Company so that we could buy a house in the suburbs on an adjustable rate mortgage so we could pay interest and usury and live the American dream. And boy, have we. And so, after the last recession in 2000, we went out, used our houses like piggy banks, put in swimming pools, bought houses we couldn't afford on adjustable rate mortgages, and now we're buried in debt. Welcome to the housing crisis. And now that we have arrived, now judgment is upon us. Bottom line. So, what a lot of people do, they call the law school and they want me to become their new guardian. They're not happy with George Bush and they want George Gordon to be the new guardian. What should I do next? Hell, I can hardly figure out what I ought to do next, much less what you ought to do. But some years back, I took a look here in the scripture. I took a look at some of these books like the Committee of 300. I took a look at the Protocols of the Learned Elders. And I said, you know, this deal has already been put to bed. This deal is already a done deal. There isn't anything that George Gordon's going to do here that's going to change any of this. And that's because Bible prophecy is being engineered by the Creator Himself. You know, it isn't something that I can do. It isn't something that I'm going to change. It's something that's already been done past tense. Now, hang on. I got to give you a reminder. And then when we come back from the reminder, our mid-course correction here at the halfway point in the program, let's take a look at the sixth protocol. And let's see if the sixth protocol describes you where you're at and where America is headed. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements are recommendations that we give. Don't mean that the authors and publications that we endorse and recommend will reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are or may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the Seeds of Destruction, an article that comes from a book that was published in The Money Changer. I always recommend The Money Changer. This guy, Franklin Sanders, has got a pretty good head on his shoulders, and almost every month, the reason I like this guy is, well, every month that comes by, an old man like me learns something new, something I didn't know before, something I didn't hear. And to me, that's important. To me, that's interesting. To me, that's worth the subscription price. It's called The Money Changer. It's an economic newsletter. And he conducts interviews quite often. And he interviewed a guy by the name of Engdahl, E-N-G-D-A-H-L, who wrote a book called Seeds of Destruction, talking about genetically modified organisms. I said, hey, there's more to these seeds of destruction than GMOs and cloned Dolly sheep. there's a deception going on here. There's a deception that's been going on for 75 or 80 years, actually longer than that. It dates back to 1884. Now, the Protocols of the Learned Elders was written back in 1884 in Zurich, Switzerland. They were published in 1909 in Paris, France. They were published by Henry Ford in 1920 in the Dearborn Gazette. There's been a number of books written, and many people have decried and denounced Henry Ford as being anti-Semitic, a racist, and really a bad guy. Listen, let me read to you the six protocols, what I told you I was going to read. Let's see whether or not this is something that's going to happen, something that is now happening, or something that's already happened past tense, and we don't need to be concerned about it. Listen up. These people said, we shall soon begin to establish huge monopolies, colossal reservoirs of wealth, upon which even the big Gentile properties will be dependent to such an extent that they will all fall together with the government credit on the day following the political catastrophe. Let's pause here for a moment. Isn't that what we're all waiting for? We are now on the verge of a great collapse of government credit, which is going to usher in a political catastrophe. Hell, we've been waiting for this for 30 years. I think everybody out there that isn't brain dead said, you know, this can't go on like this forever, but as long as it's going on, I'm going to enjoy the party. Well, boys and girls, the party's about over. I think the party ended in June of 2005 with the peak of the housing market. From then on, the party's been winding down. And now there's only a few guests left, and we're just about ready to close the door. The economists here present must carefully weigh the significance of this combination. We must develop by every means the importance of our super government, representing that as the protector, the benefactor of all who voluntarily submit to us. Saddam Hussein wouldn't submit. The Taliban wouldn't submit. You know, those Arabs over there won't submit. The Iranians won't submit. They have to be brought under control. And they are. And they will be. The aristocracy of the Gentiles as a political force has passed away. We need not take them into consideration. But as owners of the land, they are harmful to us in that they are independent in their sources of livelihood. Therefore, at all costs, we must deprive them of their land. And they have. They did. America has been deprived of its land. We are now a nation of landless peasants. The farmers don't own the land. There's a property tax on every square foot of it. You're locked up in the suburbs. You're locked up in the city. You have a big mortgage on your house, and you're about to be evicted. And your mortgage is going to reset, and you won't be able to make the payments. Alan Greenspan did his work well. Now, the best means to attain this is to increase the taxes and the mortgage indebtedness. And they did. These measures will keep land ownership in a state of unconditional subordination. And it has. Unable to satisfy their needs by small inheritances, the aristocrats among the Gentiles will burn themselves out rapidly. And we did. At the same time, it is necessary to encourage trade and industry vigorously, and especially speculation. Speculation in houses, leverage, flipping houses, stocks and bonds, and mortgages, and second deeds of trust, commercial paper, futures. The function of which is to act as a counterpoise to industry. Because without speculation, industry will cause private capital to increase. That will tend to improve the condition of agriculture by freeing the land from indebtedness for loans by the land banks. It is necessary for industry to deplete the land both of laborers and capital, and through speculation, transfer all of the money of the world into our hands. thereby throwing the Gentiles into the ranks of the proletariat. The Gentiles will then bow before us to obtain the right to existence. Boys and girls, that's already been done, past tense. We're just sitting here ready, waiting, and willing to take our instructions. We will line up to take the mark of the beast. You will stand in line all night to get your mark of the beast, because without it, you won't be able to get a ration card. Without a ration card, you won't be able to get food. Now, boys and girls, the objective here is to control all of the seeds, to control all of the agriculture, to control all of the food, so that you can be controlled by your masters. The plan was set into force and effect in 1939, executed in 1946. It continues to this day. It has worked perfectly. And all of these indici in the sixth protocol have already been accomplished. Past tense. It doesn't make any difference who these people are. You can label whatever you want. You can put Republicans, Democrats, Communists, Jews, fellow travelers. I don't care. It's already been done. Whoever it was that came up with that idea executed that plan. And it worked. So Americans today, we find ourselves sitting in our homes with $5,000 a month mortgages that we can't pay. We used our houses like piggy banks. We put in great works, swimming pools. We bought SUVs, Humvees. I mean, we've just had a hell of a party, haven't we? I got to concede, it was a hell of a party. But I imagine the Roman Empire had a hell of a party, and probably the Assyrians and Babylonians and Egyptians. You know, they all had great parties that all came to an end. I just wanted to point out that the American party is about to come to an end. Now, there are applied penalties of this law. And these applied penalties, I showed you a little earlier, come from Leviticus 26. And it's Leviticus 26, verses 32 through 35. National captivity. Now, we had a covenant. We had a contract with our God. That contract was negotiated by Moses out of Mount Sinai. And there are 33 articulable benefits under the terms and conditions of that contract. And we received all of these benefits. Now, I don't know if you were grateful for them. I don't know if you thanked God when you got your benefits. I don't know if you paid your fair share. Did you pay your tithe? Now, I know you paid your taxes, but I mean, did you pay your tithe? We received rain in due season. He said, the land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your stores of goods shall not run out. There shall be no famines or shortages. You shall dwell in your land safely. I'll give you peace in the land. I'll rid evil beasts from your land. You shall have no war in your land. You shall chase your enemies. They shall fall before you by the sword. I will have respect to you. I will make you fruitful and multiply you. I will establish my covenant with you. I will set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I will be your God. You will be my people. You will be set above all nations on earth. You shall be blessed in the city. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed shall you be when you come in or go out. You will be blessed in everything you do. You will be a holy people to God. All of the people of the earth will be afraid of you. You shall lend but not borrow. You shall be the head and not the tail. I will take sickness away from you. 70 years, all of your days will be fulfilled. That's 25,550 days, 70 years. You will inherit the land. You shall gain great wealth, multiplied gold and silver and herds and flocks, and you shall be set on high above all nations. 33 articulable benefits under the terms and conditions of the Old Covenant contract. You'll find that in Leviticus 26, verses 1 through 14 or so, and Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through about 15. Deuteronomy 18, I guess. All right, now we've collected all those benefits. Those were the benefits, and opposite that, a duty was imposed upon us. A duty involving specific performance under the terms of a contract. That's right, and it's called the Old Covenant. God was out one day, and he tendered an offer to your great, 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 great granddaddy. 84 generations back. That's 84 times 40 generations back. Tendered an offer. And you know what your great, 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 great granddaddy said? He said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. Four elements to a contract, children. A contract has an offer with an acceptance over time with consideration. Four elements. The offer was made, the offer was accepted, the time element was forever, and the consideration was specific performance in reciprocity to the terms and conditions. We agreed to it. They even had a ceremony. Hey, they took some goat's blood and they sprinkled it on the papers. Kind of like putting a seal on there today with a notary. God doesn't care much for notaries, and so he had a little ceremony there. They killed a couple of goats and or a couple of sheep, and they took the blood and they sprinkled it on the Ark of the Covenant, and they put the contract, the Ten Commandments, the two rods, they put everything into this box called the Ark. And then they set about to enjoy the benefits of their agreement. Some time went by, and there was a breach of contract. And the Bible is just full of one breach of contract after another. And so God got a little bit ticked off about that, and he said, well, we got to have a remedy for this. You have to have a remedy. We got to have a penal clause in the contract. So in Exodus 33, he wrote in a penal clause. Penal clause, that's a punishment. You got to pay something, you know. You got to give up something here because you're not following the terms and conditions. So some more time went by. And so here we are today. It's 2008, and we still haven't performed on the contract. We have not cured the deficiency in the contract. So the two penal clause chapters, that's Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, kick in. Two chapters kick in. Now, I'm not going to go through and tell you every single law that you violated, but let me give you about 10 or 12 laws that are pretty common. Things that people in America do every day that breach this contract. For instance, number one, theft by Federal Reserve notes violates Leviticus 19, 35 and 36 and Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 15. Now, these Federal Reserve notes come from the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. In Leviticus 19, we were told, use just weights and balances. We were told, do not use unjust weights and balances. We said, hell no, we won't go. We're going to have a central bank with Federal Reserve notes, and that's what we've got. We violate these two statutes every day. Love it, don't you? Homosexuality violates Leviticus 18, verse 22, and Leviticus 20, verse 13. Homosexuality is a capital felony. We were told, don't do that. We were given a remedy for it. Kill them all. Destroy them from out of your land. We said, no, no. Homosexuality is a civil right. We're going to elevate it in our law. We are not going to follow these statutes. We didn't, we don't now, we haven't, and it's not likely that we're going to. Now, there's a penalty that comes from that. Here's the penalty. You'll find it in Numbers. So in Numbers 33, verses 54 through 56, read them and weep. Here's your Creator. He says, I will do unto you as I thought to do unto them. What did he think to do unto them? He thought to kill them all. What then does he think to do to you? He thinks to kill you. I got a letter from a lady one day, and she says, the God I serve would never do such a thing. That lady's probably right. She doesn't serve and worship this God. This is a different breed of cat. I don't deny it. I'm here as a reporter. I'm here reporting on a different God. This isn't somebody you know. This is a different fella. Now this guy said, this is the way I want this done. We didn't do it. And he says, okay, here it comes. Bend over. And we're all sitting around here wondering, well, when's the shoe going to fall? I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be much longer. It's 2008. Where do you think the housing market's going, boys and girls? Where do you think the war in Iraq's going, children? How do you think that the money markets and the stock market are going to come out? Everybody's sitting here with bated breath wondering, when's the shoe going to drop? Abortion violates Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. Here in America, we use abortion as a birth control method. It's a capital felony in the Bible. We use it for birth control. Abortion. Fat, the eating of fat, violates Leviticus 3, verse 17. In our country, we eat more fat than anybody else in the world. We put 30% fat in our hamburger by law. We put 40% fat in our bologna and hot dogs by law. We eat fat until it makes us sick and we puke. It gives us cardiovascular disease and cancer, the two leading causes of disease. And we've been told that by our doctors for years. We haven't changed anything. And it violates this statute, Leviticus 3:17. Swine. We have swine in this country. We eat pig. And we're called the covenant people. And get this. Swine violates Leviticus 11, verse 7. We were told not to eat that stuff. We got a company in this country called Jimmy Dean Pure Pork Sausage. Hell, we mainline the stuff. We don't even mix it. Jimmy Dean Pure Pork Sausage. I got to read you a statute over here. I think I can find it. It's in Isaiah 58. I think it's Isaiah 58. It talks about this thing of eating pig. Isaiah 47, 49, 54, 58. Let's see if I can find it here. Is it Isaiah 58? No, that's the Sabbath. Huh. Oh, here it is. It's Isaiah 66, 17. Yeah, here it is. Isaiah 66. Listen to this. He says, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, says the Eternal. For I know their works and their thoughts, and it'll come, or it shall come, that I will gather all nations and all tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them into the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. We're going into national captivity here, boys and girls. I showed you that in Leviticus 26, but here's the prophecy. And he says, what is it that's going to cause it? He says, those that eat swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouse M-O-U-S-E, shall be consumed together. That's not good news. And then number six, we like to buy and sell land. Oh, yeah, Leviticus 25, verse 23 says, the land shall not be sold forever. Why do you think those real estate brokers are licensed, children? A license, by definition, go to Bouvier, go to Black, a license, what is it? It's permission to do something that's otherwise illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass. What's illegal or unlawful about buying and selling land? It violates Leviticus 25:23. It says plainly, the land shall not be sold forever. I don't know how long forever is, but I do know this. It ain't up yet. Then we've got usury. Remember, we were out here making all of these adjustable rate mortgages? Well, you know, Alan Greenspan told us it would be a good idea. He wanted to see every American in his own home. George Bush said that what you people wanted was jobs, jobs, jobs. Okay, you got jobs, but you're out here paying usury. And that violates Deuteronomy 23:19. And then you went out and voted for George. Remember? Twice. Voted for George Bush twice. That voting violates Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Yeah, that's right. Voting. Democracy. You know, George Bush is out here selling democracy. So I want to tell you, this God is not a Democrat. And this God does not run for election. And then we send our children to public schools. We practice the census. We engage ourselves in probate and wills. And then we practice Christmas. We want to top it off with a little Christmas cheer. Christmas violates Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 5. Probate violates the inheritance law in Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17. The census violates 2 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 25. And public schools violate Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10. There's 12 common practices that we all practice here in the United States of America. Ah, shucks, you Aussies down there, you do the same thing. Fess up. And you Canadians, you French, you Norwegians and Swedes and Finns and Icelanders, you Danes, you Irishmen, hell, we're all doing this. And then we go to church and we pray and we sing songs to Jesus. And that very same Jesus, remember, answered that, or asked this question. It's a rhetorical question. He says, why do you people call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say? Don't forget that article. It's called Seeds of Destruction, The Money Changer. Well, time's about up, children. I've got to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. Got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends. Mm-hmm.